You want to open up to Genesis, the first chapter, Genesis chapter 1, and please put a marker in 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to be in those two passages here in a few moments. I would encourage you to find the Bible, and please follow along with me today. Like I say every Sunday, nothing that I say this morning is going to come from Tim. It's all going to come from the Word of God, and I would hate for anyone to get behind and be confused. So let's get a Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 1 and 1 Peter chapter 3, and that's where we'll get started here in a few short moments. Believe it or not, I can swim, C-A-N. I am able to swim. I love to swim. It is fun to me. I like to go out on the lake, go jet skiing, tubing. I've gone whitewater rafting in the Ocoee. I like to swim in swimming pools. I can jump off of diving boards. I can do front flips, back flips. I do it all. I love the water. Water is good. I love to drink water. If you know me well, you know that that's about the only thing that I drink. Water is God's beverage. It's good stuff. Water is good. But not only can you play in water, not only is water good for us to drink, but water keeps us alive. Everybody needs water to survive. Our bodies are made up of 60 to 70% of water. We need water to live. Water is good. It's good to me. It's good to all of you. And water was good to God. Here in Genesis chapter 1, after the Lord has created day and night, He has created this expanse to separate heaven and earth. The first day has passed. It is now the second day. And in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 9, the Bible says, "And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so." Verse 10, "God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together He called seas, and God saw that it was good." Water has been good to me, water has been good to you, and ladies and gentlemen, water is good to God. And all throughout Scripture, we see how God uses water for the good of His people. I'm reminded all the way back in Genesis chapter 6, how God sees that the wickedness of man is great upon the earth, and He sets out to destroy the entire world. But there's a man by the name of Noah who caught the eyes of God. He found favor in the sight of God, and God calls upon Noah to construct this ark. He tells Noah to make this ark. He gives him very specific instructions, and He tells him that if he does this, he and his household will be saved. And so Noah listens to the Lord. Noah constructs this ark, and for a little over 100 years or so, he begins preaching to the nation around him, telling them to literally get on board so that they too may live. And so the earth begins to flood, people begin to die, and Noah and his family are saved. How are Noah and his family saved? They are saved by God through water. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, in the middle of verse number 20, Peter is reminded of this in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought to safety. How? They were brought to safety through water. All throughout Scripture, ladies and gentlemen, we see how God uses water for the good of His people. I'm reminded of the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 14. In Exodus chapter 14, we know that Moses has just led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. They are headed towards the Red Sea. The Lord has been guiding them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. The Egyptians are in hot pursuit. They're chasing down the Israelites, and the Israelites are afraid. They cry out to God, and they cry out to Moses, "It would have been better for us to just remain slaves in Egypt than to die in this wilderness." And we see Moses responds to them in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13, "Fear not, stand firm and see what? The salvation of the Lord." How is God going to save the children of Israel? He's going to save them through water. As they continue to head towards the Red Sea, God calls upon Moses to set out His hand over the sea, and the seas will be parted. The children of Israel will walk through the seas, and Moses is going to stretch His hand back out over the seas and close it up, and the Egyptians will be destroyed. Exodus chapter 14 and verse number number 27, the Bible says, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. Verse 28, the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all of the host of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. None of them remained. Verse 29, but the people of Israel walked on dry ground. How? Through the sea, through water, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Verse 30, this is a key point. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day. All throughout Scripture, we see how God uses water for the good of His people. I'm reminded of Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5. Open up to 2 Kings chapter 5. In this passage, we find a man by the name of Naaman who is a well-respected Syrian official. He had a really great reputation. Naaman was a good man, but Naaman had a slight problem. Naaman had painful boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Naaman was a leprous man. He's in this very desperate situation. And he finds out that there's a prophet of God in Samaria who could help him with his problem. And so Naaman gets permission from the king of Syria to go to Samaria to talk to this prophet of God by the name of Elisha. And Elisha tells Naaman to do something. Elisha tells Naaman that if he wants to be purified, if he wants to be cleansed, if he wants his leprosy to go away, then he's going to have to dip seven times where? In the Jordan River. He's going to have to dip in water. After a great deal of controversy, Naaman doesn't want to do this. Is there any other way? Can't you just wave your hand over me and cleanse me of my leprosy? Can I go to some other body of water and be cleansed of my leprosy? Elisha says, no, you have to do as I tell you to do through the Lord. How was Naaman cleansed of his leprosy? He was cleansed of his leprosy by God through water. Look at 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman finally listens to Elisha, in verse 14, the Bible says, so he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. All throughout Scripture, we see how God uses water for the good of his people. Ladies and gentlemen, like Naaman, all of us have a problem. Our problem is sin. Like the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 14, all of us have an enemy. Our enemy is Satan. But thanks be to God, the Lord has provided us a way, just like he provided Noah a way, to have deliverance and salvation from our problem and from our enemy, and that is by God through water. Does that make sense? John chapter 19. In John chapter 19, just after Jesus has been rejected by his own, he has been scourged, he has been beaten, he has been mocked, he has a crown of thorns twisted on his scalp, he is nailed to a cross, and there he hangs for about 6 hours. He's bloody, beaten, and bare in front of his own mother, hanging between two thieves. And at the ninth hour, he cries out in a loud voice, "It is finished." He bows his head and he gives up his spirit. And the key passage here in John chapter 19, verse 34, the Bible says, but one of the soldiers came up to him, the soldier is coming up to him to pierce his side. And guess what happens? Blood and water come out. Two essential elements in our salvation. The blood of Jesus that fixes our problem, the blood of Jesus that has saved us from our enemy, and the water by which we may have access to this blood. You cannot reach the blood, you cannot reach the cross, you cannot reach the death of Jesus without going through the water. Romans chapter 6 makes this point very, very clear. Open up to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, in the first verse, Paul is dealing with Jews who have begun to take advantage of the grace of God. They feel as if just because God is so gracious, just because he is so loving and kind, they can sin as much as they want to, and God's grace is going to cover it up. And Paul says, no, this is not how we are supposed to live. Romans chapter 6, verse 1, we're talking about how we are connected with the blood of Jesus. Romans chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, Paul asks the rhetorical question, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? How do we die to sin? Verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have done what? Been baptized into what? Into Christ Jesus. We're baptized into what? We're baptized into His death. We're baptized into His blood. When we are baptized, we are connected to the cross. When we are baptized, we are connected to the blood. John chapter 19, water and blood came out of Jesus. We are connected to that blood through the water. You may be sitting here thinking, well, Tim, what are you talking about? How do you know that baptism means water? How do you know that baptism means we are submerged into water? Well, I would tell you that baptism, that word, comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means to be immersed. It means to be plunged into something. It doesn't mean to be sprinkled. It doesn't mean to be poured. It means to be immersed into something. It means to be immersed into water. Well, how do you know it's immersion into water? Open up to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, we see that there is water in the plan of God. There is water in the plan. In Acts chapter 8, we read of this man by the name of Philip, who was called on by God to rise and go south to the city of Gaza, and there he would find a eunuch who was reading the Bible. He would be reading from the prophet of Isaiah. And so Philip goes south. He sees this eunuch who is reading scripture. He asks the eunuch if he understands what he is reading. The eunuch says, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And so at that point, Philip begins to preach to him the good news about Jesus Christ. Remember, we're talking about how do we know that baptism is submersion into water. This is the key point. Acts chapter 8 and verse 36, after Philip preached to the eunuch Jesus, they are going on their way. In verse 36, the Bible says, as they were going along the road, they came to some what? They came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" Ladies and gentlemen, baptism equals water. You cannot have baptism without water. And baptism is also immersion into water. You're not sprinkled. You're not poured. You are immersed into water. How do I know that? Read further. Verse 38. As he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both did what? They both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he was what? He baptized him. Verse 39, and when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. You cannot go down into and come up out of sprinkling. You cannot go down into and come up out of pouring. You come into and you come up out of full immersion in water. You cannot reach the cross. You cannot reach the blood. You cannot be connected with the death of Jesus Christ if you do not go into the water. Ladies and gentlemen, there is water in the plan. All throughout Scripture, we see how God uses water for the good of His people. Philip didn't just preach it. Jesus Christ preached it. Mark chapter 16. Open up to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 16. Jesus preached that there is water in the plan. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Look at this. The passage says, "Whoever believes and is saved is then baptized." Is that what y'all see there? Whoever believes and is saved is baptized. No, that's not what Jesus preached. But sadly, we're living in a world where people are trying to change what Jesus said. All you have to do is believe. All you have to do is accept Jesus as your personal Savior and you'll make it into heaven. That's what people in our world are preaching, but that's not what Jesus preached. Jesus preached that there is water in the plan, ladies and gentlemen. Mark chapter 16, verse 16, the words of Jesus say, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." Friends, that is how we are saved. There is water in the plan. You cannot be connected to the death. You cannot be connected to the blood. You cannot be connected to the cross without going through the water. Jesus didn't just preach it, but His apostles preached it. Acts chapter 2. Turn to Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, just 50 days after Jesus has been murdered on that cross, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, is preaching the first gospel sermon ever. And he tells this crowd of hostile Jews, "You all are the ones who have killed the Messiah, but God has raised him up and has made him both Lord and Christ." And when they hear this, the passage says that they are pricked to their hearts and they cry out, men and brethren, what shall we do? How do we save ourselves from this mess? How do we fix this problem? Peter says in Acts chapter 2 verse 38, repent and do what? Be baptized. Repent and go through the water for the remission of your sins. You can't be connected to the death. You can't be connected to the blood unless you go through the water. Verse 41, it says, so those who received his word were what? They were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. You have to go through the water to be added to the church, ladies and gentlemen. There's water in the plan. All throughout scripture, we see how God uses water for the good of his people. Jesus taught it, his inspired apostles taught it, and his regular old disciples taught it. Turn to Acts chapter 9. His regular old disciples taught it. I'm reminded of the conversion of Saul. Saul is on the road to Damascus, and he's blinded by this light from heaven. And this light says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul responds, who are you, Lord? And the voice responds, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. I want you to go and enter the city, and there you are going to find a man who is going to tell you what to do. Okay, so Saul has believed that this voice from heaven is Jesus Christ. He acknowledges this voice as Lord. The scriptures say that Saul has been praying and he has been fasting for 3 whole days. He believes and he has been praying for 3 whole days. But is he a saved man? According to our world, he would be a saved man, because people in our world say, well, all you have to do is just quote some man-made prayer that you can't find anywhere in the Bible and you'll be saved. Quote some sinner's prayer that you can't find anywhere in Scripture. You just pray your way into heaven. Saul was praying for 3 whole days. Look at Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse number 11. The Lord is talking to this man by the name of Ananias, who is going to meet Saul and tell him what he is supposed to do. Acts chapter 9, verse number 11, the Bible says, rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. Saul was praying, but he wasn't a saved man, ladies and gentlemen. He wasn't a saved man because Jesus told him to meet Ananias so that he would know what else he needed to do. There is something else to do. It takes more than simply believing. It takes more than simply praying. Friends, there is water in the plan. Acts chapter 9 and verse 17. So Ananias, this regular old disciple of Jesus who preached this, so Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, and immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight, and then he did what? Then he rose and he was baptized. You can't get to the death. You can't get to the blood. You can't get to the cross without going through the water. There's water in the plan. All throughout Scripture, we see how God uses water for the good of his people. Jesus taught it. His apostles taught it. His regular old disciples taught it. And here on May the 21st, 2017, we need to be teaching it too. Because we're living in a world full of people who are so enamored with their opinions and so enamored with satisfying self and trying to appease everyone around them. No one is wrong. Everyone is right. Everyone should just be have everything said to them that is tailored to their opinion and tailored to their comfort and their satisfaction. We can't tell people the true word of God. We're living in a world where people are so easily offended. But we need to preach the truth. We need to preach what God has to say about salvation. I'm sure it was not very convenient or socially acceptable for Noah to be preaching to the people around him that they need to get their lives right and get on board of this ark or they're going to die. The people are probably thinking Noah's crazy because they haven't even seen rain. They didn't know what rain was. And here Noah is preaching, you need to get on an ark. That was a very inconvenient message that he preached, but he preached it because God told him to preach it. That was God's plan. I'm sure it was very inconvenient for Moses to tell the children of Israel, you need to walk through the middle of this sea and you'll be saved. That was a very inconvenient message. I'm sure Moses and the people were terrified. You want me to walk through this body of water? But Moses preached it and they did it because that's what God said to do. I'm sure it was very strange and inconvenient for Elisha to tell Naaman, I want you to dip 7 times in this Jordan River and your leprosy is going to go away. That's a very weird message. But Naaman did it. He preached it to, Elisha did it. He preached it to Naaman because that's what God told him to say. And we have to do the same thing. Though this thought of baptism may seem so strange and weird in the society we're living in today, we have to preach it because God told us to preach it. That's God's plan. There's water in the plan. You can't reach the blood. You can't reach the death. You can't reach the cross without going through the water. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2 that there is going to be a time that comes when men will not be able to endure sound doctrine, but instead to suit their own desires, they gather around themselves a great number of teachers to tell them what their itching ears want to hear. That's the world we're living in today, but Paul began that statement by telling Timothy to preach the word. We have to preach the word. Whether we like it or not, whether our world likes it or not, we have to preach the word. Because we're living in a world full of people who have been deceived by Satan, thinking that they are saved, thinking that they are Christians, thinking that they are completely okay when they are not. We have to preach the whole counsel of God. Let us have the courage, let us have the faith, let us have the conviction and the boldness to do that every single day. Let us pray. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you now humbled before your high and exalted throne. We are so thankful for you and all of the wonderful things you do for us. We are so thankful for the life that your Son, Jesus, lived on this earth, suffering and dying and rising the third day for the sins of the world. We thank you for this avenue that we have by which we may access this wonderful victory that Christ has established for us. We thank you for giving us a means by which we may have faith. We thank you for giving us a means by which we may repent and turn away from our sins. We thank you for also giving us this means by which we may be connected to the blood of Jesus through baptism. We pray that many, many souls can realize this, that your plan is very clear and simple in Scripture. And we pray that Christians can preach and teach this message boldly in the world around us that has been deceived by Satan. We're so thankful for all that you do for us. We pray that you continue to watch over us and bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you are here this morning and you are a Christian, but you have gone astray, you have not been living your life according to God's standards of morality, you've been living your life for self, then come back today. Dedicate your life to Jesus today. Decide that you are going to follow after him. You are going to be committed to him. If you were here this morning and you thought that you were a Christian, you thought that you obey the gospel, but you've seen in Scripture that what you've done is not according to God's plan of salvation, then become a true child of God today. By faith, by repentance, confession, baptism, full immersion in water, and faithful living for the rest of your life. If you need any spiritual help this morning, please come to the front while we stand and sing the song of invitation.